Hello from wherever you are watching this. Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast at Christ Fellowship. We invite you to grab your Bible, a journal, or whatever you need to engage with the Holy Spirit during this time. Our prayer is that God would use this to equip and empower you to be all He has designed you to be. If you want to learn more about what's going on here in East Tennessee, check out our website and follow us on social media. Enjoy.
Hey, man. Man, he reigns. Amen to that. He reigns. He reigns. He reigns. He reigns above all the earth. But here in Kingsport and Johnson City and Bristol, and as we were singing, a friend of mine stopped by and he gave testimony. How many know testimony is beautiful and powerful? And a few weeks ago, we had prayed for some people with shoulder issues, shoulder pain, and he was telling me his barber actually goes here. I won't call him out here, but he goes here, and he'd been struggling with shoulder pain for a while. And he went this week, my friend did, and got his hair cut. And the guy said, I don't know what it is other than God himself. My shoulder is healed in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. And so this morning, I just want to take a moment. I mean, I don't know if anybody else recognizes him. I'm going to talk about this a little bit today, but like, today is just one of those, I think, the seasons on the earth where the Lord is making himself really known. And So I want to steward us as a community, that we would keep our eyes on him, that we would see him, but I also feel like we always just got to be able to make space for the Lord to move. And sometimes we go through the thing, we do the thing, and then we look back and we're like, man, we didn't give God any space to do anything, right? Like we're good at church. Come on, somebody say, yeah, we're good at church. Like people in the West are good at church, but how many of you know God has taken the church and really changing some things up? He's shaking some things up, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So here's what I want to do. We do this once in a while when we feel like it's going on. But if you have something in your body that needs healing, you've got a pain in your body, disease, you had an injury, and you would like prayer. And so I'm not making you do it, but if you would like prayer today and you're like, man, I would love for my testimony to be, man, I raised my hand and I got prayer, and man, my body was transformed. If you would like prayer today, just where you're at, I'm not going to make you come forward. If would you just raise your hand if you're like, my body needs healing, just keep your hand way up. And so we are a family. This is not an organization. It's not a business. We're a family. And so if you see somebody around you with their hand up, would you just put your hand on their shoulder? Give them some space, but put your hand on their shoulder right now. We got everybody. Keep your hand up until you get somebody praying for you. So, Gary up here. Love Gary. This lady right here. Can we get, there you go. Put it, yeah, perfect. Thank you so much for stepping into that. And so just real quick, find out their name and what they need prayer for. And let's just go at it and let's just bless their bodies, bless whatever they're going through, just all over. This is called a house of prayer for all people. So if you're here, it's including you for all people. Yeah, so let's just pray in faith right now. We're singing about a God who reigns, a God who's above it all, God who still does miraculous things. He still brings healing. He brings salvation. If you're being prayed for, I just want you to take a posture of receiving. Just say, Lord, I receive from you today. I receive your love. However that shows up today, Lord, I receive your love. I receive the fact that you see me, that you value me. Yeah, we bless you, Holy Spirit. You said we'd be clothed with power. Holy Spirit, to follow the ways of Jesus, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. So we just thank you, Lord, for the power of the Spirit. We just release your peace in this room, your healing, your hope. Restore our hope, Lord, in this room today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Can we give the Lord a round of applause one more time this morning? Hey, go ahead and find a seat. Find a seat, find a Bible. Today is one of those days where we're going to mix it up. I love these days because people are like, "Why? We only sang one song. Why are you preaching?" I mean, you know, sometimes patterns are the death of a move of God. I'm gonna say that again. How many of you know sometimes the patterns that we find ourselves in keep us from actually growing and moving and learning with God? Anybody else agree with that? Like, it's so easy to get in a rut. Like, we all been there. And so sometimes in church, like, we're praying and we're like, hey, let's just make everybody mad and let's sing one song and then Derek's gonna preach and then people are gonna keep on coming in. And it's fun. I love it, actually. I think it's great to shake things up today. I would love for you to grab your Bible, grab your app. And I want to encourage you, man, if of any place that you're going to take your Bible, man, I would encourage you to bring your Bible to church. That wasn't meant to be a joke. It was meant to be a pastoral comment. Like, seriously, like, and if you don't have a Bible, man, there's so many apps on our phones here, and we got Bibles out if you'd like to have one. Let's start in Psalm 139 today. 2 weeks ago, the board of directors and I, we got away for the weekend and we were connecting relationally and praying for our church and praying for each one of you and visioning and dreaming for what God would have. It was an amazing time. And while we were gone, Kim preached an amazing message on what it means to rest and movement. This series, both and, that we can rest and we can be in movement. That's really how God is. Beautiful, profound message. She always brings amazing teaching depth, makes people think. I love how Kim teaches the word. And then last week, I thought Richie did a phenomenal job. Yeah, somebody say amen, right? You guys, right? Of this tension that we have, that God is a God that loves to reveal himself, but he's also a God of deep mystery. And honestly, as I get older and as I walk with the Lord, I'm realizing the more I get to know about God, the less I know about God. Anybody else there? Like, it's like, oh my goodness, this God that we love to just get in our grasp and hold on, he's a mystery that's deeper than any thought I've ever had. And so I thought he did a phenomenal job of unpacking the scriptures and what it looks like for God to be both revealer and mystery. And so today, I want to lean into one of the mysteries of God. Both and. Today I want to look at the fact that God is everywhere and somewhere. Think about that. God is everywhere. He's both everywhere and he's somewhere. I'm going to start out and looking at Psalm 139. David is going to set us on a trajectory here to begin as we look at the scriptures to understand the breadth and the width of God. And Psalm 139, picking up in verse 7, if you're following along here, David writes this, beautiful poetry, beautiful expression of his heart. He said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you." If you're in the season of darkness, listen, it's not dark to God. Said, even in the darkness, it's not dark to you because the night is bright as the day to God. Isn't that amazing that we have a God that even in our darkness, it's like noonday to him? Like, that should encourage our faith here. "For the darkness is as light with you." Look at verse 13. "For you formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Anybody believe that you're fearfully and wonderfully made this morning? Listen, you need to hear that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. "Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance." Before you were ever a being, God saw you. Let that blow your mind for a moment. Before you were conceived, God saw you. Anybody else like, wow, that's a mystery. Like, we should grab these things and not just read over it. Like, that's amazing that David's trying to get us to understand this God. "You saw me when I was unformed, and in your book were written every one of my days, the days that you formed for me when I was yet there was none of them." So before my first day, God saw all my days. Oh my goodness, isn't that deep? David had this understanding of God. He knew God, and at this point, he's trying to put to words this mystery that God is everywhere. Where can I go? I'll go up to the Mount of the Everest. I'll go to the tallest mountain, and you're there. I'll go down to the deepest tunnel in the earth, and you are still there. I'll go to the darkest place on the earth or in my own self. Oh. And guess what? You're still there. You're there. You're everywhere. Jeremiah puts it like this in Jeremiah 23. God is asking Jeremiah some great questions. He says, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Look at this line that the Lord says to Jeremiah. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Just think about that. Like, once again, I know critical thinking, we're getting further and further away from that in our society. All this AI stuff and all this thing, we love people to think for us, but can we just for a moment think about that? The Lord says, do I not fill heaven and earth? God is everywhere. In the New Testament, we see this thought process continue on. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 through 28. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. I love that. This is the purpose for his positioning people and their dwelling place, that they would seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Do you know that God wants all people to find him? Like, he's not hiding from people, he's hiding for them. He wants people to seek after him. He wants you and I to seek after him, and in doing so, find it, because we know that those that seek what? Will find. We know that. This is what it's talking about in Acts chapter 17. And yet, I love this line, he is actually not far from each one of us. God is not far from any of us. And Esther quoted this in her prayer, in him we live and move and have our being. God is everywhere. The word that we use, the kind of theological language that we present with this is the word omnipresent. And I love this definition that it is something that is widely or constantly encountered. Isn't that beautiful? That God's omnipresence, that he's constantly available to be encountered. I love that. All the time, all the places. That he's everywhere at the same time. God is everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. And yet, if you're like me, which I believe everyone in here is like me, we're all human beings, there's seasons of life, there's moments of life where, like, I don't see you, God. I don't know where you are. I'm in a season of darkness and everything feels like it's not going well and I don't see any light. It's just pure darkness. Where are you, God? Anybody else been there besides me in the house today, right? There's places and seasons where, like, I don't see God, but I want to root us in truth today. Just because you don't have an awareness of God does not mean that God is not with you. And some of us just need to feel it. Listen, it's not about what you feel. It's not even about what you see. It's about truth that sets you free. And what we see today in the scripture is that God is present. That's why I love the story. And I think it's Genesis chapter 28 when Jacob is taking a nap and the Lord comes to him in a vision and he reiterates what he told Abraham, his father, that he will have descendants like the stars in the sea and that they will be a blessing to all the earth. And then he wakes up and in this vision, though, he sees a ladder going up to heaven and he sees angels coming and going down. And he wakes up and he says, oh my goodness, God is in this place and I did not even know it. Like, could it be in this season of life, friends, that you're like, I don't see God, I don't feel God. Could it be I'm the end of this season of life? You look back and say, oh my goodness, God was there and I didn't even know it. I'm gonna say actually, yes, that is the fact, even if you don't feel it today. Because what we see in the scriptures is that God is present. He's omnipresent. He is with us. All things are held together by him. Every atom, every universe, every single thing, God is in all of it. And yet this God who is everywhere, this omnipresent God, he loves to be encountered in specific times and places. Isn't that interesting? This God that's everywhere, he's omnipresent. Like, his historical way of doing things is that the God that's everywhere loves to show up somewhere. And we see this even in Genesis 1. We see the pictures of the Genesis 1. We see the creation story, and we see that the says the Spirit of God is hovering, is moving over the vast nothingness, over the void. The Spirit of God. So there we see the Spirit of God is above all and also in all, but he's beyond even creation. This is how far reaching God is. He's all that. And so then God speaks and creation is birthed. Adam and Eve are formed. All the things that we see and enjoy are here. And then in chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, the God that was hovering over it all, the God who's omnipresent, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Isn't that so interesting? The God who's massive, 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 big, beyond the heavens. He's taking a walk in a garden with his friends. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that like mess with us though? Like, he's taking a walk, and because the God who is everywhere also loves to be somewhere. And we see Eden really is a place that God's desire was created, his desire. That word Eden, it actually means perfect. It means delight. It means pleasure. And so what we see, the Garden of Eden, is really God's design and desire for all the earth. In the Garden of Eden, why was it so desirable? Why was it so pleasant and perfect to God? It was because Adam and Eve, humanity, they're representative of humanity. Humanity was connected to God, unfiltered, complete connection, walking with him, talking with him, learning, partnering with him to see his kingdom, his rule and reign advanced on the earth. This is why Eden was so beautiful. It was a place of deep intimacy and connection with God. And I want to tell you, it was, and it is today, God's desire for the earth. It's the same desire that God has today, to be with people. And so we see from that, we know that the story, Adam and Eve, they separated from God's truth. They separated from God, who God said they were. They separated from God, who God said he was. And then as they separated from truth, then they fell into all kinds of things. And yet God was still present. He still showed up. Isn't that beautiful? You know why? Because you can't get away from God's presence. Even when you try, he's like, I'm still here. I'm waiting for you. Here I am. I'm with you. And then for time's sake, I won't go throughout the whole story, but this picture of Eden is what God desires. And so as we see, we move from Eden, we have the fall of humanity and all the lies that we believe and all the ways that we still fall. We go from Eden, and then we have God. He raises up Moses to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land. And along the way, he says, I want you to build me a place. A God that's everywhere wants to be someplace, right? Let me read you Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9. This is God. He says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. This is what God wants to be. He wants to be connected with his people. He said, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so that you shall make it. And so as they're coming out of Egypt and they're heading into the promised land, God's desire is just the same as it was in Eden. He's like, I want to be with you. I want to be in your midst. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to build me a portable house. It's kind of like a glorified RV, if you want like a picture of that. It's like, hey, let's drive around for a while. Let's go in some circles. Okay, let's stop right here. Put the awning out, get the fire going, get the game on. No, they didn't have that back then. But like, God says, I want to be with you. And as you move, I want to be with you. And so I had this thing called the tabernacle. And that tabernacle was a place, I know it sounds crazy, the God that's everywhere, he's like, I wanna be somewhere, I wanna be in your midst. And so he puts together this plan and he gives it to him and says, and if you guys will build this place, I will be with you. My presence, my very presence will somehow dwell in the middle of your people. And then that tabernacle gave way to David's tabernacle, which was very wildly different. I love David's tabernacle. I'm not gonna chase that rabbit trail today. I would love to teach on that. I'm not going to, but David's tabernacle was there. And then David had this dream, this desire. I wanna build a permanent dwelling place for God. For various reasons, he was unable to do that, but he gave the plans to his son Solomon. Solomon takes the plans and he builds a temple. The temple. And this temple, once again, was a place where God's presence dwelt in the midst of his people. And so I want to make sure we see this. These are images that are pointing to a greater truth. The tabernacle and the temple were not the goal. They were like taste, like little morsels where you taste things. They were giving us a taste of what God's plan really was. But the tabernacle and the temple, what were they? They were connecting points between God and humanity. It was like this rarefied air where God would make himself known in the midst of humanity. That's what a tabernacle is. That's what a temple is. And then all of a sudden, we get to the New Testament and Jesus shows up. Let me read to you what Jesus says in John chapter 2. Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. And you will raise it up in 3 days? Yeah, come on, man. But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. And when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. See, the tabernacle in David / Solomon's temple were a picture of what was to come. That thing that was to come was Jesus. And here in this passage in John chapter 2, Jesus says, I am the temple. Now, remember what a temple is. It's a place of connection between God and man. What is Jesus? Fully God, fully man. He's walking the earth. What is he? He is a connection to God with humanity. He is a living temple. And he says, if you tear this thing down, if you, prophetically speaking, if you kill me in 3 days later, I'm going to raise up from the dead. And this temple is going to remain. And so Jesus is the next iteration of this fact that God is everywhere, but he loves to be somewhere. God that created the earth also loves to be Emmanuel, God with us. Dwelling place in our presence. And yet Jesus, the work of the cross, the beauty and power of the resurrection, 40 days later, his ascension, where he stands with us today, 50 days after that, Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes as the veil is torn at the cross, Spirit of God is given, and then we are brought into this flow. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or do you not know, church, listen, do you not know that you are your body is a temple. I want you to say right now, I'm a temple. Like now, look to the person right and say, you are a temple. Okay, listen, here it is. What are you a temple of? Now that's a good question. Ooh, all of us are temples. What are people getting when they enter your temple or come in contact with your temple? Here it is. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of what? And is Holy Spirit God? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we got one saying that. Is Holy Spirit God? Yes, for sure. So your body is a temple for who? For God within you, whom you have from God. You are not of your own. You were bought at a price, so glorify God in your body. Listen, the beauty of Jesus, he is the temple, the dwelling place of God. He's the connection point on the earth between God and heaven. And now he says, because of my death, because of my resurrection, because I've sent the Holy Spirit, now I've sealed you. You are now like me. You are the temples on the earth. You are the little temples, the little tabernacles on the earth that are walking around. And you are conduits of heaven on the earth, God on the earth. And this gets me so excited, oh my goodness, because Ephesians chapter 2 takes this even further. And I love the church, and so this gets me so excited. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Yes. Catch my breath. You're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone. Amen to that. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy what? A holy what? Can y'all read it? Holy temple, there's that word again. We're being
grown into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for who? God, by the Spirit. So this is a beautiful picture. Each one of us are temples, or you could use the word tabernacle, because we move around. Each one of us, the Spirit of God lives in us as followers of Jesus. That means we are conduits. We are places, sacred place, space on the earth where God dwells. He's everywhere, but how many of you know he's also right here? Anybody else believe God lives in them, right? So we are that. And then he says, as we grow together in community, we're being built up into this holy dwelling place where the presence of God is pleased to dwell. As we come together, as we love one another, as we forgive, as we show mercy, as we seek justice and walk humbly, as we partner together, what's happened is we're being built into this dwelling place where God is pleased to dwell. And all this, which is beautiful and profound, it all is yet still a taste. Because the end of this thing is the eternal communion, where Eden is fully restored. And let me just read to you one more passage here today. Then I saw, this is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Look at verse 3. This is where I want you to see this today. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." See, the whole story arc of the scripture, the whole from the first to the end is this desire of God that we would be with him, that we would partner with him, that we would be connected. So really the picture is that Eden was the first temple, the first place where the presence of God and people intersected. And then we have the tabernacle, then we have the temple, then we have Jesus himself. Now we are that, and where all this is going is on the new earth and the new heaven. It's going to be the restoration of Eden, where we're with God in his presence and we're establishing his kingdom fully on the earth. How many want his kingdom fully established on the earth? This is the trajectory we're going on. And so today I want to encourage you with a couple simple things here. God's presence is in his followers. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, the presence of God, the Ephesians says that you are sealed with his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one that draws you to Jesus, allows you to see him rightly. The presence of God is in his followers. Here's the other thing I see, and I know that God's presence is in his church, capital C church. Now, how many of you know the church has some issues? The capital church has some issues. How many of you know at this church, we are not a perfect church? Somebody say amen. Don't say it too loudly though, right? Like, we've got some issues, but how many of you know the church is the body of God? The church is the body of Jesus himself. He is the head. That means he has not given up on her, and he never will. He's returning for a bride that's ready for him. And so the church is a place where the presence of God dwells. But here's where else God's presence is. He's in your home. I see some kids in here and parents, and I just need you to capture this vision today. The presence of God is just as present in this room as he is in your living room. Presence of God is just the same in our prayer rooms as we gather together as he is, as you sit beside your little child and pray as they're laying down for sleep. God's presence is in your home. And here's the next one, and this is a little bit more of a stretch for some of us. God's presence is in your place of employment. Woo! I didn't say you have a Christian boss. I didn't say you work for a church. It's not the goal, not the goal. The presence of God is every place. That means he's also at your place of employment. No matter what the environment is, no matter what the climate is, God is present. And here's why we know that, because his presence is everywhere. Simply put. Now, I want to take a little pressure off some people in the room here today, because some of us are really zealous for the Lord, and I love that. I love it, but sometimes we get in a production mentality and I got to do things for the Lord. And so this line just kept resonating with me this week, is we can't take God anywhere that he isn't already present. Now let's sit. Can we sit in this for a moment? Just look at this. Let's sit here together. We can't take God where he isn't already present. Like, just can we just let the pressure melt away from us that it's we've got to do something? Because here's the mentality. It's like we've got a workplace that maybe is not healthy and it's like maybe like super like ugly and like lots of things going on. And sometimes we get in this thing like, I've got to go save it. Anybody else ever been there? Like, I've done that before. Like, I've got to start this thing and I've got to make it happen. And I know people have good meaning in this, but like even in like the missionary world, they're like, let's take Jesus to wherever. Let's take Jesus to my workplace. Let's take Jesus to the Middle East. And I'm like, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I know that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. That means everywhere I go, Jesus is with me. Anybody else agree with that? Yeah. But here's the thing. It's a little arrogant to think that wherever I go, that I'm somehow introducing a God that is everywhere. Some of us are like up here, I know. Jesus is in me. I'm in him. So sometimes I think like I got to take Jesus to these people. And I just want you to tell me, I want you to hear this. Jesus is already there. He's already at your workplace. Listen, he's all throughout the Middle East. You think he's not there? He's there. He's been there. Actually, Jesus was born in the Middle East. Wow. Gee, watch what we say. But God is present. And so here's what we are doing. We are called to participate. He has said that I'm going to work through humanity until all the earth hears. But I'm not taking Jesus anywhere to like, for the first time, Jesus is like, wow, I've never been here before. No, he's like, yeah, I've been here a long time. Let's come on. Let's go. And here's what we're doing. We are learning to recognize God and help other people recognize God. That's our role as followers of Jesus. So when I go to work, it's not like, God, will you show up here today? It's like, God, you're here today. Help me to see where you're at. And I just want to help other people see you. I want to live in a way that other people experience your love because they're going to know you by my love, not by the 100 verses that I can quote to them and tell them how they're damned for hell. We don't take Jesus anywhere where he isn't already. And that's encouraging. But the other thing I want to close here with, and then we're going to move into singing some beautiful songs here, is this thing I say a lot here, and I say it because it's true, and I want to make sure we get it, is this church is not founded on a pastor or a personality or a band or a vision. We are endeavoring, learning a lot, messing up, I'm sure, along the way, but we are endeavoring to be a community that gathers around the presence of God, where he is our goal. He's the honored guest. We talk about that a lot when we prepare. Sundays are rolling out the red carpet for Jesus. Other people come, that's great. Nobody comes, that's great. Jesus is still here. We're gonna worship him. We're gonna adore him. We're gonna make much of his name. So we wanna be a people that learn to honor him. And so when we gather, though, at this church, I just want you to hear me. Sundays are not the goal of this church. And I say that, and I know, like, even that's tension, like, both and, like Sundays are important, like, so important, so important. Hebrews 10 says, don't neglect the gathering of the saints, right? And listen, we need to continually gather together. If you're online, join us online, that's great. But if you're in this area, like, I would encourage you to join together. There's something powerful when we come together. But Sundays are not the goal. The purpose of Sundays is unto Mondays. Somebody else say amen to that, right? Like, the reason why we gather is not like to set up a tent and stay here. The goal is like, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna be in the people of God and I'm gonna hear the word of God and I'm gonna worship and I'm gonna be encouraged and exhorted, and then I'm gonna go into where God already is and I'm gonna help make him known. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And yet at the same time, our gatherings are important. This is what Matthew says in Matthew 18. He says, where two or three gather in my name, what happens? I'm in their midst. I'm right there. So as we gather on Sundays, as we gather in small groups all across the Tri-Cities and beyond, here's what we can know. God is in our midst. We don't have to wow him. We don't have to drum up enough energy to get him. Like, we can just say, God is here. And the beautiful part about community and gathering together is when we come together, each one of us has a different lens and a different perspective of God. We all see him just a little bit different. We all connect a little bit different. So when we come in a room like this, sometimes it's helpful to hear people pray, like Esther praying this morning. Sometimes it just stirs my faith. Anybody else faith stirred up when Esther prayed this morning? Actually, the general reached up to me and said, hey, you don't have to preach today. Esther already brought the word, right? And I'm like, you're right. But anybody else, like, you feel stirred up when you hear somebody else pray, right? Why is that? Because we're coming into agreement with truth. Some of us, we come in, we're like, man, I don't feel like worshiping today. And then I look over and I see somebody who is in the presence of God, and they don't care who's in the room and whether they're standing or whether they're sitting down, and we're just like, oh my goodness, that's right, God is present. He's working. I don't see him today, but he's working. And so when we come together, it's this beautiful, like, tornado of faith and encouragement, and God, you're doing things. And so we're just stirring up one another's faith. And so this morning, we're gonna lean into that. And we're going to sing three songs. We're going to start out with a song called Holy Spirit. My youngest a few weeks ago said, Daddy, we haven't sang this song for a long time. And it was a song that we used to sing with them before they went to bed. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And so I told the team, hey, I think we need to sing this song soon. And today we're going to lean into this. And Holy Spirit, and what we're saying is, you're welcome here. And once again, we're not saying, God, come, because we already know he's here. We're saying, God, help us to be aware that you're already here. Open us up to the fact that you are here, and make yourself known, manifest your presence among us. And then we're gonna move into a song that's about us telling God who he is. Waymaker, man, we haven't sang that song for a minute, Waymaker. And we're gonna talk about how God is a waymaker. He's a miracle working God. He's the light in the darkness. Who he is. And so we're going to declare who he is. And then we're going to close today with this beautiful tune that we haven't sang for a while called Rooftops. And we're going to sing and we're going to shout of how God has moved, who he is. And so I'm going to invite you just to stand right now as we move into this time. And I just want you to say, no, just as even Esther started the day out, that there's freedom here. There's freedom here. And so I want to encourage you, maybe you need a little bit more space than what you have in your row. That's all right. So if you need to, like, get out in the aisle, listen, the aisle is fair game, okay? This front area is fair game. If you need to sit down today, nobody's judging you. If you want to raise, if you want to dance, how many of you know in the scriptures filled with dancing today? If you want to dance before the Lord today, you can. If you want to lift up a shout today, if you want to clap your hands, all of these are biblical responses to God, worship to God. And so here's what I do. I want to pray, and we're going to come into an awareness of God. And so, Lord, thank you for your word that stands true. Thank you that you are omnipresent, that you are everywhere, and yet somehow the omnipresent God loves to be someplace. And I thank you that today you are here in the midst of your people. So we worship you, we adore you. Help us to be more aware, and may we respond rightly to you. In Jesus' name, amen.